attention to God's word. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So far, God's word. And let's come before him now in prayer and ask him for a blessing on that word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you for the promises that we find in your word, and in particular the promise and the encouragement that we find tonight in the coming judgment. Lord, there's also a challenge for us in your word this evening as to how we live in light of this coming, this sure judgment. Help us to be open to this challenge. Help us to consider how we respond to the challenge of your word to us this evening. Lord, may your word return to you, achieving the purpose for which you sent it. May your word work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hell. It's not all that popular a word nowadays, is it? Israel Folau found that out more than a couple of weeks ago now, with his warning that he posted on Twitter. Drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, adulterers, thieves, idolaters. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will go to hell. Quoting directly from Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. It's interesting, isn't it? When so many people are offended by something they don't believe in. And they certainly don't believe that that's where they're going to end up. But our catechism this evening also points to hell. Question and answer 11 of Lord's Day chapter 4. Isn't God also merciful? Yes, it answers. God is certainly merciful, but he is also just. His justice demands that sin committed against his supreme mercy be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul. Eternal punishment in hell. God hates sin. He punishes it. And that's what, as we've been looking through the section on misery, that's what the catechism is at pains to point out, as it summarizes Scripture's teaching. But yet here in our passage and in the catechism this evening, the question is asked, isn't there also mercy in there somewhere? Isn't God also merciful? And the answer is yes. Yes, God is merciful. And while we're waiting for the coming judgment, we also see God's mercy. And we need to show Christ's mercy. And that's our theme this evening. While waiting for the coming judgment, we are to show Christ's mercy. This evening we're going to look at mercy. God's justice, and yes, we're going to see that God's justice means hell. Our first point this evening is judgment for the goats. Judgment for the goats. I've flipped our passage a little bit. I don't know about you, but I asked it, would you like the good news or the bad news? Who says bad news first? Some? Some want the good first, but most of us, snap poll, like the good news first, bad news first, so we can have the good news. Hopefully you get the point there. Start with the bad, finish with the good. So the first is the bad, judgment for the goats. And as I said, some people call this a parable, but it's not really a parable. It's pointing to a process that was fairly common in the days there in Israel, and we'll get to that shortly. But what is clear about our passage is that our passage is speaking about the final judgment. It's speaking about Judgment Day, the day when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, we read. Before him will be gathered all the nations. You can hear in the back of those words, and any educated Jewish person in those days would hear the words of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Daniel's vision of the Son of Man. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancients of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. All people, nations, and languages should serve him. And here in our passage we have all the nations before Jesus Christ, before the judge. Every single person is represented there. Everyone on earth, everyone that has been raised by this stage from the dead, is there. But what about this idea here in the second half of verse 32? He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, I didn't know this, but from my reading, I found out that in those days, it was kind of difficult to tell dirty sheep and dirty goats from each other. The shepherds used to run them together to feed as they moved around. I didn't know that. But what I also didn't know, I don't know if you guys knew this, but goats are more susceptible to cold. So I presume, as well as the dogs at the moment, you have all the goats there in the... No? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I do. Well, there you go. We didn't see that one on Facebook, but... So they separated it, and they needed to do that because otherwise the goats wouldn't survive in the cold. So the goats were taken and put in more shelter. The sheep were slightly hardier. So again, the person hearing this from Jesus would know, well, yeah, that's what happens. We separate sheep and goats. But it's what happens when they've been separated when Jesus wants to drive his point home. What happens to the goats? They are put away to the left. The right is the favorable side. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the goats are put away to the left. And they are cursed. They are told that they will receive the final judgment. It's there in verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Judgment is coming. Why are they being judged? On what basis? Well, it's the way that they treated others. It's the way that they treated others. Verses 42 and 43. I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. What was the problem with these goats? Even though they claimed innocence, they didn't know, they claimed that they didn't do this, that they didn't do what they were being accused of. What was the problem? The problem was that they showed by their actions that they didn't care for anyone but themselves. It was me, me, me. They only cared for number one. There's a joke that's told about New Yorkers and how people in New York City and how unfriendly they are. And the joke is told about a man who collapses on the street, and there's a crowd around them blocking people from walking on the street. And from the outside of the crowd, you hear this voice, "Excuse me, I'm a doctor." And so the crowd parts. The doctor walks through, steps over the person, and carries on walking, because obviously he has got more important things to do. He's only concerned about himself. That's the kind of thing that the goats were doing. They were only looking after themselves. And the price that the goats have to pay for enjoying life now, enjoying life at the expense of others, is the curse, the wrath of the Lord. In their life, in their own life, they wanted to be and they thought that they were their own Lord. But the time was coming, and here in our passage, the time came where they needed to give an account. Notice how the goats call the judge, the Son of Man who comes in glory. It's there in verse 44, Lord. The same word that the sheep use for the judge, for the king. Lord. Every single person through all of history will one day call Jesus Christ the judge, the king, Lord. The day is coming. Maybe you don't have any time at the moment for the Lord. Maybe you think that that's something that you'll get to later on. But our passage here teaches us that the time is coming when it will be too late. When Jesus returns, when the judge returns, it will be too late. There will be no more chances. Kids sometimes try that on, don't they? I know the first time I'm called for dinner, I can get away with it. The second time's okay, but when Mum comes out in that angry voice, well, then I've got to go in. But I've got two more chances before that happens. When Jesus returns, that ain't going to happen. There will be no more chances. But even for those of us who are saved, this is a message that we need to bring people. We need to warn them that every single person will face the king one day. Now we need to be cautious in how we do that. I can't think of one instance where you would start a conversation saying, "Do you know that you're going to hell?" Yet, that has been tried. But the point is that there is some time in your conversation, there is some time when you're getting to know someone, that you're going to need to tell them about sin. You're going to need to tell them about how God hates sin, and yes, you're going to have to warn them of the coming judgment, the coming punishment. That if they do not submit to Jesus Christ, if they do not call him Lord, then yes, hell awaits. Is coming. That there is a time coming where they will hear these words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels," an eternal fire prepared for you. Judgment is coming for the goats. That's the negative part of our passage. But there's also the good and the positive, and I've entitled our second point this evening, Judgment for the Sheep. Hang on, you say? Judgment for the sheep? Do the righteous get judged? Do they face judgment? Well, that's what our passage seems to point to, doesn't it? And turn with me, if you have your Bibles open, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 10, we read this. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." There is judgment coming for the sheep as well. There is judgment coming for the righteous. What are they judged on? On what basis are they judged on here in our passage? What are they judged on? How are the righteous judged? On what basis? Here in our passage. That's not a rhetorical question, just in case you're wondering. How are they judged? By their deeds, by their works. So does that mean that at the judgment day we're going to have to stand before God and he's going to say, wow, you did so much good, tick, you're in. You didn't do enough, you're out. You could read that in a way if you read this passage, couldn't you? The point of this passage is how we treat others. Whether we're sheep or whether we're goats. That is part of the point, a significant part. Four times it's repeated. I don't know if you noticed that, picked up on that. Four times it's repeated. How others are treated. That's an important point here. The point has already been made that those who are selfish, those who look after themselves and no one else, go to hell. But if we think it's on the basis of works that we go, that the righteous are ultimately judged, then we're missing the point of the passage. We're missing the point of the passage here and also the rest of Scripture. Verse 34 says this, Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, because of all the good things you've done, you inherit the kingdom. So it doesn't actually say that there, does it? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come and inherit the kingdom that I've chosen for you, that I've chosen you to before time even began. That brings to us the idea of Ephesians 1, that before time began, we were chosen by God. And just in case you were in any doubt, Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. Titus 3 says this. Titus 3, 5 and 6. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How are the sheep saved? Works are important. We'll get to that shortly. But how are they saved? The rest of Scripture tells us. The Heidelberg Catechism is going to tell us. We're going to get to deliverance next week, but we can't wait till next week. How are we saved? Through? Boys and girls, how are we saved? Through Jesus Christ. That's right. Through Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. He takes the punishment for us. God's justice demands, the Heidelberg Catechism says, that sin committed against his supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul. That punishment is due not only to the goats, but to those of us who are sheep, every single one of us. We deserve the same punishment. The difference for the sheep is that Christ takes that punishment for us. We're judged on behalf of what Jesus Christ has done. His works, his perfect obedience, his paying the price so that we can inherit the kingdom of God. And it's clear that while there is some sort of judgment coming for the righteous, our salvation doesn't depend on us. No, the basis of our salvation, and the rest of Scripture teaches us that, is our salvation in Jesus Christ. Here is God's mercy to us. Jesus Christ taking the justice that we deserve. And the righteous here in our passage are surprised by that too. They're surprised that they're judged. They're surprised that they get a reward because of their status in Jesus Christ. That they were chosen, that they inherit to inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. But they're also surprised by a judging of the actions that happens here in the passage as well. And that brings us to our final point. Because in our final point, we're going to look at the significance of the king's judgment of the righteous here, on the actions of the righteous. Our final point is living in the light of judgment. First of all, the righteous, the sheep, on the right-hand side, were judged righteous by Jesus Christ. The richest rest of Scripture tells us. They can stand before God because Jesus Christ has stood in the gap for them. He's stood in the gap for us. But how can the king tell in our story here how they're righteous? If you're walking down the street, particularly on days like this, how can you tell that a person is a Christian? It's pretty hard to tell. Now, maybe if they've got this big cross around their neck, or they're wearing, in the, I think it was the 80s, Jesus Freak or something like that on their t-shirts. Or I Love Jesus or something like that. But not normally. If you don't talk to them, if you don't know them, it's pretty hard to separate the sheep and the goats as you walk down the street. But you can tell when they speak. You can tell when they act, when you get to know them. And that's what the king is emphasizing for the sheep this evening as well. Your actions show your status. As we learned this morning, the status that we have. Your actions show your status. A couple of years ago, we had the privilege, Hanukkah and I, of seeing the All Blacks play in Chicago. And we got to the stadium in Chicago, and more than 50% of the stadium was dressed in black. It was an amazing sight. We were really excited. This felt like a home game. So we're all there, and we thought, man, how did they manage to find so many Kiwis to come to this game? What became clear, however, after the game started, in a few minutes, after the USA managed to do something, I think hang on to the ball for more than two tackles, all of a sudden, all these people dressed in black were getting up and cheering USA, USA. You see, from the outside, it looked like they were All Black supporters, but what they'd done is they'd gone and got some trendy gear, and yes, we'd agree, it is trendy gear, all black. And they wore it. But their actions showed that they were not All Black supporters. And it's actions that are important here. Actions show who we are. How can the king tell in our story here? By how the sheep act. By how the sheep give people who are hungry food, those who are thirsty drink, welcome strangers, clothe those who don't have clothing, visit the sick, visit those who are in prison. That's how the king can tell. And no, make no mistake, this is what we're supposed to see these actions here. As I said before, four times in full they're repeated here. Now, of course, if we think about the rest of Scripture, Jesus Christ the King has the ability to see into hearts. He judges on it in our hearts. He judges everyone by their hearts. But the point our passage is making is that what we do shows what's in our heart. Our actions talk. So who is it that we are to show this mercy to? This mercy that as we're showing mercy to others, we show to Jesus Christ. Who are the hungry? Who are the thirsty? Who are the stranger? Who is the naked, the sick, those in prison? Well, the answer is there in verse 40. The king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Who is the call firstly, and in our passage here, to show this mercy to? We look at these words, brothers and the least, as they're used throughout the Gospels. First of all, it referred to Jesus' disciples. The equivalent today would be the church of Jesus Christ. That's the focus of our passage. Can we draw a wider application and say, yes, we should show mercy and love to others, to those outside the church? Absolutely. But the point here in our passage is that those who are the least, those who are those who are our brothers and sisters. Those who are weak, those who are struggling. And that's part of the surprise that the sheep have here as well. How we treat each other in the church shows what's in our hearts, shows our status. And notice that these things here really aren't that big manners. A bit of food. A few clothes, something to drink, welcoming in some strangers. We have a blessing as a church when we have strangers walking in often into our services. little things, a blanket, a meal, a kind word, a visit, a prayer, small things that are noticed by the king. So how are we doing in that? How are we doing that as God's people? How are we caring for those who are on the fringes? Are we seeking out those who are struggling amongst us? Do you know who's struggling? How are we doing in looking after someone like Hans van Eyck Menkman? How are we doing in going and chasing down those sheep that we don't often see? The Annabelles, the Emmas, the Lucindas, the Carolins, the Johannas. How are we caring for those who are part of our flock? How are we showing the mercy that's been shown to us, to them? Because we will be called to account. No, our salvation is not at stake, but we will be called to account and how we treat each other in the body of Christ. We've seen that we are to warn others of the coming judgment, but we also see in our passage, this is how we are to live as brothers and sisters of Christ in light of the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. We have a duty, brothers and sisters, to warn those who do not yet know Jesus Christ, to show love and concern for those who are rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the warning of the goats. Do you want your friends? Do you want your co-workers? Do you want your children to go to hell? Because that's what's at stake here with the coming judgment. We should warn them out of love and concern. Should we put messages on Twitter like Israel Folau? Maybe, maybe not. But in today's world, many churches, hell is not spoken of. It's not cool and the gospel is watered down. But if we do that, we are not doing anyone any favors. We're merely making people, helping people comfortably, heading down the track on the way to hell. We have a duty to warn people of the coming judgment. But we also see here, brothers and sisters, a wonderful demonstration of God's mercy. And God's mercy shown through us to others. Salvation in Jesus Christ, yes, chosen from the beginning of time, yes. But also a challenge and encouragement to show love, to show mercy, to show those to those amongst us who are struggling. To those amongst us who have trials. First and foremost in the church, absolutely. And yes, to others as well. To care for those in our midst who are struggling. To care for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And isn't that too a most powerful witness? As we do this to the least amongst us, as we show practical, true Christian mercy in light of the coming judgment of Jesus Christ, we know that we will hear the promise of our King. Enter the joy of your master, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been reminded again this evening, judgment is coming. That's a true fact. We don't know when, but we do know it is. Lord, we pray this evening, especially for those that we know who are in danger, in terrible danger of that coming judgment. Lord, we think of those in our families who seem to be walking a path on the side of the goats. Work in their hearts, we pray, but give us a heart for them too. Lord, may the undeniable fact that if people do not believe in Jesus Christ, our friends, our children, our co-workers, the only option is that they will go to eternal punishment. Lord, that should send shivers down our spine. That should give us urgency. We confess that too often this evening that too often it does not. Give us a heart for those who are facing judgment. help us to show concern to them. Lord, we also thank you that you have saved us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that it doesn't depend on us in terms of our salvation, that you have chosen us before the beginning of time, that is all from your mercy. But help us also to hear the call, the challenge this evening, to show love, to show mercy, to show care and concern for our fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Help us to do that in light of your return. Help us to do that because of what you have done for us. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that even, especially, the little things we do are seen and noticed by you. We thank you that they are seen as doing good things, showing mercy, treating you with honor as we treat others with honor. May that encourage us, spur us on to love and good deeds, we pray. And Lord, we do look forward to the day when you return, when Jesus Christ returns in glory. Lord, to a day of judgment that we need not fear, a day of judgment that we can look forward to. Because for every one of our sins that we will be called to account for, the answer to every one of those sins will be paid for. Paid in full by Jesus Christ. Lord, that is true mercy. We thank you for that. May we live because of that for you by showing love and mercy to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.